Edit.
All right. Good one.
All right, the Gemara in Shabbos, in the Chanukah Sugi is in Masechet Shabbos. Shabbos, Daf Chaf Aleph, there's the well-known verse where it says that the Mitzvah of Chanukah is Nerei Shubesai, HaMahadrin, Amadik Ne'el Lachalachat V'achar, V'amahadrin, Min HaMahadrin. So what we're all familiar with is that we're Moisef HaHilich, Kineger HaYamim HaYaitzim. So on the first night you light one, and the second night you light two, and the third night you light three, and so on the eighth night you light eight Neiris. But if you look in the original, in the verse in Shabbos, Daf Chaf Aleph, is actually a machlekes about that.
Yeah.
And what we do, that's Beis Hillel's shita. Beis Shammai's shita is the opposite, that you're poiches v'hoylech. That on the first night you light eight, and on the second night seven, and on the third night six, and until on the last night you light one there. So what's the, and the Gemara says that Beis Hillel's going keneged yamim ha-yotzim, and Beis Shammai's keneged yamim ha-nechnasim. Beis Shammai is saying how many days are still to come. So tonight's the fifth night of Chanukah. So according to Beis Hillel, we're going to light five Neiris, Kineged Yom HaYotzim, because five have gone by, including tonight. And according to Beis Shammai, tonight we would light four candles, Kineged Yom HaBoyim, that including tonight, there are 4 days still left to come. So, but my kamifli, what's the, I mean, the Gemara says, they're arguing Kineged Yom HaYotzim, Kineged Yom HaChanasim, but the Michtam Eliyahu Dessler, gives what he thinks may be a more of a oimik in why Beis Shammai went keneged hayamim hanechnasim and Beis Hillel went keneged hayamim hayotzim. I'll start with a question. What's your favorite night of Chanukah? I think most people would say that the most exciting night of Chanukah is the first night. You haven't lived for a whole year, and now it's Chanukah again. And it's with an excitement that, you know, we set up the menorah and the whole family gathers around. And the first night of Chanukah, very likely, everybody's going to be working their schedules around the Hadlakas Neiros to make sure that the whole family is there at the same time. And we sing the whole Zmiris. And that's the first night of Chanukah. And then as the week gets on and Chanukah becomes less of a novelty, and, you know, there's other things in our schedule. And by later on in the week, it may very well be the case that you're trying to squeeze it in when you get a chance between appointments and engagements and different people in the family. And one comes in at 5 o'clock and lights, and one comes in at 6 o'clock and lights. And it's not so coordinated. And the Zmiris get cut out because it isn't that special anymore. It's much more special the first night. And then that specialness wanes as the week progresses. You know, we're all nodding, as you know, like in recognition that that's the way things are. But the truth is that, you know, you should be a little bit ashamed about that. That's not the way that it should be. If someone's really fulfilling the mitzvah of Chanukah kedibai, right, properly, a real Baal Madrega, I would say that it would go the opposite way around. Because the first night of Chanukah, you're just a beginner. And you don't even know so much and understand so much. And it takes time to grow into a mitzvah. And over the course of the 8 days, you're learning more, hopefully, about the meaning of the mitzvah and what it represents and what it's supposed to do for you. And you're spending some time each night looking at the neiros and being mizbeinin and absorbing more of the power of the Neiros, and that's building you up so that the following night you bring more to your Hadlakas Neiros. And really, if somebody is on a high Madrega, his Hadlakas Neiros is Moisif V'Hoylech, in terms of the quality of the Hadlaka, is really Moisif V'Hoylech. It doesn't look like that for us. Our Hadlakas are really Poiches V'Hoylech. That it's Shechiyan more.
Is only the first
that's
night.
True, right? Shechiyanu is the first night, right? We got to take, you know, credit for that. That it's, you know, meaning our experience is reflected in that. That's true, but you know, our experience is really of a hadlakas neiros as poiches v'haylech, but a real Baal Madrega would experience a hadlakas neiros as moisef v'haylech. Rav Dessler says that to understand the machla with that backdrop. What's the machlokes between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai? Let's compare it to another machlekes that we're familiar with from Yisrael B'Shamay. There's a Gemara, one of the few Gemaras that I would feel confident saying that everybody here knows by heart. The Gemara in Ksubas Daf Yud Zayin says, Ketzem Rakhim Lefnei HaKala, Kala Noah V'Chasuda. That's the Gemara, it's a Braisa, Ksubas Daf Tazayin, I'm based to Yud Zayin, I'm an Aleph at the top. But the truth is that the way we know it by heart is really not so accurate because the song just has an excerpt from the Gemara. The full Braisa that says, Ketzem Rakhim Lefnei HaKala, Beis Shamay Oimrim, Kala Kamois Shehi, Uveis Hillel Oimrim, Kala Noah V'Chasuda. They still say that every kala is called pretty and every kala is called good-natured, and Beis Shammai say, kala kamay shehi. You describe her as she is. So Tosfos says, okay, even Beis Shammai is not going to say that if she's ugly and short-tempered, you sing and dance by the chasana, the kala is ugly, the kala is short-tempered. Tosfos says that you look for something nice about her. You know, if she's ugly and short-tempered, but she's smart, so you say the kala is smart when you're singing at the chasana. But you don't say anything that isn't true. Yeah, and Beis Hillel say, and the Gemara even says that Beis Shammai say, you know, the Gemara says, my time to Beis Shammai, midvar sheker tirchak. That's what the Gemara, what do you mean? Midvar sheker tirchak. How could you call her pretty if she's not pretty? Midvar sheker tirchak. That's what Beis Shammai say. And Beis Hillel say, no, you know, you could, Beis Hillel say, if somebody buys a suit, then it's a very out of style, and he comes into work the next day, it's a mystery to go over and say, it's an out of style suit. No, he bought it already. You tell him it's a nice suit you have. I'm not so worried about Midvash HaKar Tirchak. There was, obviously, even though it's not like a machlokes from one end to the other, it's not that Beis Hillel doesn't hold of MS and Beis Shammai doesn't hold of making people feel good, but in terms of what is the top value in our whole pyramid of values, Beis Shammai is authenticity above everything. That the absolute highest priority is that you have to be authentic, that you can't be fake. There has to be, you know, real emes. Not emes just in the sense of telling the truth, not lying, but authenticity. You know, I recently heard somebody say that a more recent reincarnation of Beis Shammai Shita, was Beis Kotzk. The Chassidus of Kotzk, the Kotzke Rebbe, that's what he was known for. Emes above everything. So there's a mice that they say, or emes meaning, again, not in the sense of telling the truth, but being authentic, not being fake in any way. So there's a mice that they say that there was a Chassid from Kotzk who was dying, he was on his deathbed, and friends and family would gather around him, and they could see, you know, he was very weak. He was, they were holding by the Yisias Neshama. And somebody called out to him, Labela, tell me, when you're holding at this point, one foot in the next world, do you still have a Yetzirah? And he said, absolutely, Avada, there's always a Yetzirah. So they said, Labela, what is the Yetzirah telling you right now? So he said, the Yetzirah is telling me that I should call out Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad with all of my koyach. So that they should say, label it was Yotzei Neshamasi Ve'echad. That's a Kotzker Maisa. That the absolute highest value was authenticity, not praving zich, not, you know, faking. And it, so that, and that was Beis Shammai, and they were Kala Kamoshi, and Beis Hillel. Hillel is, someone's in the Yitzmach Yisrael. Hillel is Rashi Tevis. Hillel was a value of making you feel good, of being optimistic and looking at the bright side of things, and not that Chas V'Shalom Hillel represented Sheker, but Emes was not the highest value in the same way that it was for Beis Shammai. There was much more of an allowance for optimism and pragmatism and trying to make everybody feel good and putting the best possible spin on a situation. So l'shem shemayim, obviously. So bringing it back to the halakas neiris. So Rav Dessler says that, you know, are the neiris of Chanukah poiches v'haylech or moisef v'haylech? So we all know, it's really supposed to be moisef v'haylech. A tzaddik's halakas neiris is moisef v'haylech. And Beis Hillel say, go for it. You know, be a tzaddik. I maybe not really holding there, but you want to be there. That's what you want to be. That's what you should be. That's what you hope to be when you grow up. A Maisav HaHalich type of a hadlaka. So be Maisav HaHalich. put on the best possible face to your mitzvah and do it the way that a tzaddik would do. And when he said a tzaddik that grows from the mitzvah as the week progresses, so his halakha is there. So they still say, you might as well. I say, where are you holding? Lamaisa, are you that Baal Madrega whose halakha is really mitzvah halakha? Are you, Lamaisa, unfortunately, constricted by human nature, and the lamaisa is much more exciting than the first night, and it gets schwacher and schwacher as time goes on. If your halakha really gets schwacher and schwacher, that's what it should look like. So they say peiches v'haylech, because that's the emes. Your halakha should look like it's getting schwacher, because it really is getting schwacher. But they'll say, could be that this year it's getting schwacher, but I still hope next year, I still hope that later this week, my halakha is going to be moist of a haylech. So they still say, you moist of a haylech. That's the way, like a kal no v'chasuda, we're moist of a haylech in the halakha's nevis.
It sounds like the world order according to Litvak and Chassidim.
Okay. Oh, right? You mean Beis Hillel being a more always, Chassidisha?
Always, what?
Beis Hillel being the more Chassidisha approach.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
I hear.
They always think, it's going to be good.
Positive.
Yeah, very positive.
Okay.
Litvak are Litvak.
They don't give Kiddush. They don't give a ticket on the yard side.
Fast. Yeah, okay, there you have it. That sums up everything.
As someone once told me,
I see them do.
How does a Litvak sing, you go to a wedding, a Litvish wedding, how does a Litvak sing Og Yishama Bar Yehuda?
Yeah.
Og Yishama Bar Yehuda.
Okay.
A lot of editing.
Not just me.
Great, this time.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, now, halacha take a discussion. not halacha l'maisa, not a poisei. Just talking about a halacha de ke'inyin for the purpose of, I guess, we'll all be better educated a bit in talking about the inyin when we're done. Hopefully, the major shaila in Hilchas Chanukah, the Gemara says again, this is Shabbos Tachaf Aleph. The Gemara brings down a brisa: mitzvasa mishatishka hachama ad shetichla regel menashok. And the mitzvah is from when the sun goes down until the traffic in the street ends. Till the traffic dies away in the street. And the Gemara says, l'inyan what? This is the mitzvah for what purpose, for what nafkamina? And the Gemara has two possibilities. Either de'ilei adlik madlik, and that's the window of time in which you get to light. You have to light within that time, and then after that time has elapsed, then the zman is over and you miss the mitzvah. Inami, the Gemara says, l'shi'ura, that this is said in the shir, how much oil you have to put in. You have to put in the amount of oil to burn mishatishka hachama ashtichel regal menashok. Not that that's the only time in which you could light. If you missed that zman, according to that Inami, if you missed the zman, you could still light later on, but you always have to make sure to put in that amount of oil, the amount for the window from mishatishka hachama ashtichel regal menashok. So those are the two pshatim in the Gemara. And there's an important machlokes we're showing him. Taisvis says that the Gemara really, when it says inami, the Gemara means one or the other is correct. So either there's a zman for the mitzvah, and the zman is ma'akev, or there's a shir for the oil, but not both. And the Rambam learns that the Gemara means that both of these halachas are true. That there's both a zman for the mitzvah, which is ma'akev, and also there's a shir for the oil. So that, maybe we'll come back to that a little later. We'll leave that as a complicated jumble right now. But there's this machlokes b'shanim whether both are true, or the Gemara means that there's a suffix, which one is true. But al-Kopanim, there's this concept of mishatishka hachamash techel regel menashuk, which has important ramifications, right? Legabe the zman of the mitzvah, and perhaps also legabe the shear of the oil. Now, what does this mean in practical terms? Tichla regel mishtishka achama, what does that mean? That's one question. So that is a big machalik is rishayinim, whether it means shkiyas achama or it means seisek achavim. The Rambam learns that it means shkiyas achama, the Shulchan Aruch following the Mordechai and others paskins that it means seisek achavim. But more importantly, in today's discussion, what's the other half of the sentence? Tichla regel menashok. So right, until the regel, the foot, footsteps die out in the marketplace, in the street. So the Gemara tries to clarify a little bit. The Gemara says, "Vad kama? How long is that?" And the Gemara says, "Ad dechal yariglu the tarmudai, until the tarmudayim stop walking around." Which Rosh Hashanah learned that means the the latest markets, the latest stores to close, because those are the stores that sell the kindling that people need for their fireplaces. When they come home, they go back out, and they, because it's dark already, and they need to light their fireplace. Anybody that ran out would go out. So those are the last stores to close. But when is that lemaisa? So the Rambam writes, the Rambam's lashon is, it's kemoi chatzi shah o yoiser. It's like half an hour, maybe a little more. We throw out that number of a half an hour, which is also written in the Rif. The Rif is before the Rambam. The Rif also wrote that it's a half an hour. I think he says kemoi chatzi shah. I don't think he says o yoiser. He says kemoi chatzi shah. It's about a half an hour. The Rif.
Half an hour after Shkia.
After whatever Tishka Chama means, Shkia Tzachama according to the Rambam, or it says Gachavim according to the Shulchan Aruch. But right, it's a half an hour after the Zman. And the Rif doesn't tell us where he's getting it from. I think it's likely that he also wasn't making it up. It was probably a Maseira that was passed out. I think the earliest place that we have it in writing, is, as far as I know, is the Rif. But I would assume that it's a Maseira that he had from his Rebbeim, who learned from the Goinim, that there's an old Maseira that when Chazal said, they meant half an hour. So now the question arises, what about nowadays? Right? We live in a very different world than they did back then. And a half an hour after it gets dark, nothing changes. I mean, it's the winter now, right? It gets dark at 5 o'clock, 5:30, somewhere around there is it's dark. And many of us are still at work at that time. The rush hour is in full swing at that time. Tichla Regel Ben Ashuk is clearly not for quite a while after that. You know, one could argue about, you know, if we had to figure out what to call Tichla Regel Ben Ashuk, so I guess it's debatable. Does it mean Dafka when the, you know, when the real rush hour ends, or is it only when the streets start to seem deserted? And does it go by Midtown Manhattan? Does it go by where you live? It's debatable how exactly to implement it, but clearly it would be much later.
Shuk implies some commerce.
What?
Shuk implies commerce, not like
right, right. That's true. So maybe the residential side street shouldn't be what counts. It should be okay. The main street, right, where the stores are, I hear, but that probably makes it later, right? Because there's traffic. You know, now people go back out later because they, you know, the restaurants and the bars that are that you know, or the movie theaters. You know, there's on this Shaila, there's a well-known Maisa from the Brisker Rav. The Brisker Rav, when he came to Yerushalayim, so he lived in Mea Sharim, if I'm not mistaken, on Rehov Strauss, in Mea Sharim. And he used to, there was also, a little further up Rehov Strauss, there was a movie theater. And on Hanukkah, he used to ask people what time the movies are tonight, which of course, you know, was a strange sight. And so, you know, the stranger that he walked over to and said, Reb Yid, what time are the movies tonight? The guy didn't know what hit him. But the pshat was that he felt that on Rehov Strauss, the Tichel Agam and Ashok is when the movies are over, because people are going to be coming out of the movie theater and then they're going to be walking past his house. So I've heard the story in different versions. Some I've heard it said over that he would light with enough oil that it would last until the last movie was over. I've also heard that it said that he would light again when the movie was going to be over. But Al-Kaparim, he, according to this story, he felt, at least L'chumra, that the Tichel Regel Ben Ashuk should be adjusted nowadays. Again, I don't know if he held that way halacha l'maaseh or just L'chumra, but I'm mentioning that story, but right now we're just talking about it as a theory. There's a svara to say that the Tichel Regel Ben Ashuk should be different nowadays because it's not a half an hour after, right? The traffic does not die down a half an hour after it gets dark, so it's got to go later than that. Now, it's important to point out that if we're speculating about this chiddush, we'll call it, right, that maybe the din should change nowadays. So what is this? Is this a chumra or a kula? What would be the ramifications of saying this?
Why would the Gemara use that as a time frame if it wasn't something that changes? Then there's no reason it would use that as a time frame. Otherwise, it would just say 30 minutes, an hour after Shkia.
Okay, you mean the fact
that
puts it on Tichel Regel Ben Ashuk,
that it could change.
Okay, that's a good point. I would say that the counter argument is that they used that expression because that was definitely their reason for making the Zman that they made was because of the traffic. But one might argue, but once they made the Zman, so the Zman remains whatever it was fixed at that time.
It could be different.
Like a Kiyashma, a Chikahanim, you know, the
New York City versus,
in a small town. Right, right. If we accept this chiddush that it should change nowadays, then you're right. It will be highly localized and it will be different in each place.
Sounds like you want to make a kula.
Ah, so this would make... So first of all, this would definitely make a kula.
You're broadening the
Zman. The Zman becomes much longer. So, right, if you follow the strict letter of the law, the way it's written in the Gemara, again, it is some ambiguity about what Tishka Achama means. If it means Shkiyas Achama, that's 4:30. If it means Tzitzik Chavim, it's, let's say, around 5:15, approximately. Right? The difference amount of Tzitzik Chavim, maybe it's 5:30 or 5:40. But, and then a half an hour after that, it brings you to, again, depending on when you started it, you're holding it around 5 o'clock, or 6 o'clock, 6:15, maybe, outer limit. And then that's it. That's the end of the Zman. And what about somebody that gets home from work at 7 o'clock? So, according, if you hold with the old Tichlei Gemar Ashok, he's going to miss the Zman. But if you say that no, the Zman could be expanded nowadays, then you could do them, you have a larger window. That's a nice kula. Now, such a nice kula, in fact. Oh, again, we haven't fully answered the question of is it a kula or a chumra, but Yitz is saying that it's a kula, and let's just explain that first. How great a kula is it? There's a halacha in Hilchas Chanukah. That
can't work during the time that you're supposed to.
Oh, okay, that right. There's the, that's brought down as a minhag, right? That a minhag of nashim, but aside from that, I was going to say, there's a very important, true, right? Also, a sudas keva, a sudas pas. There's a halacha that I think is not well known because I think most people assume that it's not really negan nowadays. But as you'll see, it's very relevant. What's the how far does a person have to go if it's hard to do the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah? I mean, financially hard. Now, nowadays it doesn't seem so relevant because oil and wicks are really very cheap nowadays. So to talk about do you have to spend your last dollar to buy Neres for Ner Chanukah doesn't seem so relevant nowadays. But first, we'll come back to that in a second. But first, the background. The Rambam writes that, and it's brought down to Shulchan Aruch, that a person is mechuyev even to be moicher ksusay, to sell the shirt off of his back, to buy Neiris for Ner Chanukah. Now, this is a tremendous chiddush because we don't say that for other mitzvahs.
There's one other.
There is another, right. You know, which one? It's Arba Kaisais. Not Matzah, but Arba Kaisais. Arba Kaisais. And that's where it comes from. There's a Mishnah that indicates that Afilo Anish Yisrael, Livchas Lami Arba Kaisais Shal Yayin, and the Rambam extrapolated from there to here because the Gemara calls both of them Persumanisa, and he said it must be the Maila Persumanisa that gives it this extra halacha. That's not the regular rule. If a Luv and Esrog are too expensive, a person is Potter. If Tefillin are too expensive, a person is Potter. Now, obviously, you know, you should try to borrow. If you don't have your own, you have to try to borrow from somebody else. But if it's too expensive, how do we measure too expensive? So it's not so clear. There's there's a shear that's chaimish is brought down in some makayres that in the ikir halach of chaimish was said legabe tzedakah. But the Shulchan Aruch and Tafresh Nivav, if I'm not mistaken, says that that's to be true also legabe mitzvahs. So whatever exactly the shear is in one place, Chazal used the expression of a hain rav. You don't have to spend all your money on a mitzvah, for whether it's lulav, tefillin, kiddush, you don't have to spend all your money. Ner Chanukah, you do. The person has to be meicher ksusay to buy Ner Chanukah. Now, I say that that's not really relevant on a practical level because neiris are so cheap. I mean, even someone that's very, very poor, he could afford neiris. Even if he mamish can't afford it, someone will give it to him. Right? It's not going to be negeya. But believe it or not, I think there's a huge, huge ramification of this halacha, which could be very negeya. Halacha lamaisa. A person has to give up all of his money for Ner Chanukah. Presumably that should mean his income, also his parnasa. If you have to give up all your money. If a person has a job and he's got to be there until 7 o'clock, so then he's not getting home until after that, till 7. Well, so he's got to be until 6 o'clock. He's getting home at 7 o'clock. It's way after the Zman of Tichlei Gemar Ashok as defined by the Rif and the Rambam of K'may Chatzi Shah, or Yoyser. But it's way past that. So he tells his boss, I have to leave early. the boss says, no, I can't have an employee that's leaving every day early. Today, 7 days in a row, 8 days in a row? No way. Go find yourself another job. So what do you have to do then?
I thought it's different if you're giving... If you're spending if you're giving up the shirt off your back versus giving up your income, isn't that
it? Is it okay?
I think there was something I learned.
So I think there may be some discussion in Pesim about that. All right, but certainly there's a tzad.
Yeah.
Maybe it's debatable. But there's at least a basis to argue that one should have to give up. At least some, let's say even the boss will let you get away with it, but you'll have to lose pay for it. Again, how much pay? Maybe it's going to be considerable, but you have to be Meir Chaksusa for Ner Chanukah. So this halacha of being Meir Chaksusa, that Ner Chanukah overall, you know, is, there's no poverty excuse for Ner Chanukah, is very relevant because the Zman could encroach on your job, and then you could lose your job or at least lose income. But if we say that the Zman is much longer now, that 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, there's still lots of traffic on the street, so it's still well within the Zman. So this person that gets out of work at 6 o'clock comes home at 7 o'clock, no problem. So in that sense, so like Yid said that to expand the Zman would be a kula, it's a great kula. It's not just a question of convenience. It's also, it could really save a person his job, this kula. Now, we should mention, to go a little bit off topic, that, you know, when I talk about putting it into real practical halacha l'maisa terms, that there's another factor which is very relevant, which is that here in America, we don't light outside, right? Most people don't light outside. And Tosfos already says that the Zman that's written in the Gemara was for the time that they lit outside, and nowadays, I think last week we touched on this a little bit, that the Baal HaTeis say that we light indoors nowadays. Indoors, the Ikar B'Sumanis is for the B'nai HaBayis, so that would change the whole Tichel Lagam HaNashok. So that, you know, as far as the Halacha L'maisa question of this, of somebody who has this job and he can't get home from work early, so if he's in America, it's not really a shadow. He doesn't have to come home from work early, and he can light later because the B'Sumanis is for the B'nai HaBayis. But let's say that same shaila comes up and you live in Eretz Yisrael, where the minig is, and some place can take the minig quite seriously, that it's not just a question of minig, that in Eretz Yisrael, they consider that to be, that the Dina de Gemara, we follow the Dina de Gemara, the mitzvah never changed to go from Bifnim to Bechutz, from Bechutz to Bifnim, and they enforce it, I know I've seen brought down, certainly from Rav Yashiv, that he considered the Halakha B'chutz to be Me'ikar Adin, that if you live in Yerushalayim and that's the minig there, you're not Yaseh if you light indoors. So then the Zman is very relevant. And then you have the Tichlo Ragam and Ashuk as it's defined by the Rif and the Rambam, and you can't get home from work on time for that. If you say this Chiddush, that the Tichlo Ragam and Ashuk could change nowadays, that saves you your job. But if you don't say this Chiddush, then you could be fired. So that's the first nafkamina from this shaila. Do we expand the Tichel Lagam HaNashuk for nowadays because of contemporary circumstances, you know, being different? And in this respect, it will be a tremendous kula. However, it's all, again, coming back to the question that I said, would it be a kula or a chumra if we said the Tichel Lagam HaNashuk was longer nowadays? It's also a chumra. The chumra is because the Gemara said, inami l'shiura. How much oil do you have to put in? How long do your neighbors have to burn? And the Gemara says, "Mishtishka achama, achtichel agam anashuk." If you suppose, again, I don't know what the number is, but let's just suppose for argument's sake, you say the tichel agam anashuk. No, that's if we don't change it. That's what the Rif and the Rambam say. But let's say you say that nowadays tichel agam anashuk is really 9 o'clock. Okay, obviously this is very debatable, but let's just take that for argument's sake. 9 o'clock, and this man is around 5 o'clock. Again, that's, you know, Tizk Chavim, so some people light a little bit early, some people light a little bit later. But let's just say for argument's sake, light at 5 o'clock, that's what we're going to call Tishka Acham, and Tichel Lagam HaNashuk is 9 o'clock. That means that you need to burn 4 hours worth of oil every night. Now, that's really a big chumrah. It's not insurmountable, but most people are not knowing that way. Certainly if you light with candles, there are no candles.
Oh, the Zman goes from the beginning till the end. That doesn't mean you have to light it.
You need both.
It's a question of how we define the word Tichel Lagam HaNashuk. The Braisa says, Mitzvah Mishatishka Acham Ad Tichel Lagam HaNashuk. And then the Gemara says, L'may Nafkamina, what's that Negea to?
Right.
So one is the window of time in which you could light, and the other is the Shir. Now, if you change the definition of Tichel Lagam HaNashuk, I would think you have to be consistent. If you change it for one, you have to change it for the other. And so this change if you accept it, it's going to be a kula and a chumrah. It's a kula that the window of time becomes much larger, but it's also a chumrah in that the shear becomes the, of how much oil you have to put in becomes much, much greater. And again, in chutz laretz, maybe this is less of a shaila. Maybe we're really speaking more academically about, you know, pshat in the Gemara. But in Yerushalayim, this is extremely negei halacha l'maaseh because it's still madlik outside.
The shear of tichla regel minashuk. I mean, they chose that. Is there a reason behind that?
Yeah.
That people should go home and you light outside and the pursuma nisa?
Yeah.
So if there's nobody left in the shuk and you're lighting outside, there's no pursuma nisa anymore.
Right.
Is that the reason?
Yeah.
I just want to be clear.
Yeah.
Is pursuma nisa just the mitzvah inside? Is pursuma nisa just for Jews or for the world?
Okay, that's a great question. There isn't really a short answer to that.
Sorry.
So,
according to Chabad.
That's for sure, right?
Well,
some places can assume that it's only for Jews. The Mishnah Berurah sounds like he holds that way also. There's a kasha, the Gemara that I just spoke out before, that it says, how long is Tichel HaGemana Shuk? The Gemara says, Ad Dechal Yerigla De Tarmudai, until the regal of the Tarmudim goes away. So we said that the Tarmudim are the people that sell the kindling. But Rashi over there writes, Shem Uma, Talmud is a nation. I mean, it is. I mean, it's one of the countries of the ancient world. It's mentioned, I'm not sure if it's mentioned in Tanakh, because I don't really know Tanakh, but it's mentioned elsewhere in the Gemara. The Gemara at the end of the first paragraph of Yavamis talks about the country of Talmud. So, and Rashi said the Talmudoi over here, Shem Uma. It's the name of a nation. Well, it's not the Jewish nation. So it sounds like there were a bunch of immigrants that were in that industry, the kindling sellers were the Talmudim. And they were goyim. So that Rashi and the Gemara is saying that the whole shir of Tichel HaGemana Shuk means the rigla de tarmudai. So that Rashi sounds like there is pursuma nisa for goyim. But I think
it's the people shopping.
Right. So there are those that push off the raya and say that as long as the tarmudayim have their stores open, so there are customers out. And it's really the Jewish customers. Now, I think this Rashi is brought sometimes to support the other side, but I think the more widely accepted position is that Sumanism means for Yidden.
So, if you live in a town, you're the only Jew, you can light inside.
Okay, so that's a great shaila. He said that if you live in a town and you're the only Jew, then you should be able to light inside.
That might be a problem.
In your line, that's not happening.
But let's say in the times of the Gemara.
There's nobody to be Subanisa if there's only Dayim outside.
Yeah. So
the Jews are sitting on the table eating latkes, then why light outside?
Okay, so. It's funny, just before I came here, I was giving a shiur in yeshiva, and today's shiur was about this inyan. So I have a lot to say, but I'll get off of our topic. So we'll miss Shem next Hanukkah. Miss Shem next Hanukkah. This is Blin Adar.
When is the last day Hanukkah?
Can you hold out that long for the answer?
What?
I forgot everything. I heard the reason why we light in front of the door is because to show that in the ancient times when the Romans or whoever,
the Greeks
knew that we were lighting, they tore down doors from the homes, so they couldn't light, and they would make sure that, that's why today we show we have freedom.
We light after by the door.
By the door.
Okay.
I don't know where I saw
that
from. Where did the minute start? Where did that
minute
start?
The
Gemara says light by the door. You mean the minute of lighting on the door, on the inside of the door? Yeah, that they were naig in Europe, that once it became dangerous to light outside, because there's still a mile of the door, because the Gemara says they have the mezuzah b'min and the mezuzah and the nerchanak of b'smol, kadesh yikonis bin shtei ha-mitzvahs. Okay. So this is the shaila that, and again, it, definitely the nafkaminas from this shaila are again l'kula and l'chumra. So there's no we're not rooting for one side, but the shaila is, does the zman of tichel HaGemana Shuk change nowadays? The svara to say that it should change obviously is very strong. Like you said before, I mean the Gemara doesn't say half an hour. The Rishonim said half an hour. They had a Messiah, maybe that's what was always meant. But the idea was that was when the regal was kala. But nowadays in New York, the regal's not kala half an hour after it gets dark. So that's the svara to say that it should change nowadays. The counter argument would be that, you know, first of all, that halachas don't change very easily, and that over here, when they were kaveh the zman of the mitzvah, true, the reason why they picked this amount of time is because that was how long there was traffic out, but the mitzvah is the way the Chazal were masakin. They were masakin it a long time ago. In those days, the traffic was for half an hour after it got dark. So they were masakin the mitzvah for half an hour after it got dark. And now, even if times changed, but the zman of the mitzvah would still remain the same as before. Those are the two sides of the argument.
Doesn't the Gemara yeah. say, Kavtza loy zakaka? If the light
right.
when air goes out after a couple
right.
minutes, you don't have to
right.
relight it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So if we're worried about the share, why would the Gemara say?
Excellent. So that's mamash the Gemara's kasha. The Gemara in the discussion about kafsa zakkuk or kafsa ein zakkuk, the Gemara brings this brisa that of mitzvah mishatishka hamashticha lag manashuk. The Gemara brings this brisa as a raya that kafsa zakkuk. Mamash gets to saying
wow.
that the brisa says that it has to you have to light ashticha lag manashuk. That means that if it goes out, you have to relight it. But then the Gemara pushes off the raya, and in fact we pass from kafsa ein zakkuk. The Gemara pushes off the raya and says no, the brisa doesn't mean that you have to see to it that it remains lit that long. The brisa means one of these two other pshatim that we said before. Either that's the window of time in which you get to light it, or that's how much oil you have to put in at the time that you light it. So now, Lagabi, this question. So I was looking around. My impression is that Paiskim are seem reluctant to accept this chiddush that it should change. And to me, it seems very mistaber that it should change, that it's a very relative thing, and that nowadays the Tichalag Manashuk is very different. But, like I was looking, you know, in some of the Svarim that collect contemporary rulings, like in the Dirshu Mishnah Berurah, the notes they have from Shlomo Zalman, from Rav Yashiv, and I don't remember specifically what they were from whom, but so I don't mean to be mentioning names, but whoever they quoted as having talked about the subject said that we don't change the Zman. The Zman is what it always was. But, okay, you know, looking in the Dirshu Mishnah Berurah, you just see, like, bottom lines, you know, you don't get whole discussions. I was looking around to see who discusses it, and I found in one contemporary sefer, the Sefer Kovetz Halachais, that he presents an argument to prove that the Zman does not change, that the Zman of Tichalag Manashuk goes by what it was in the times of Chazal. And the raya that he brings is as follows.
If you don't say Kriya Shema Bezmano, you're over Kriya Shema Bezmano, but you still have to say Kriya Shema.
That's true. Yeah, but you're still also not yet to mitzvah. No.
Why could you say that?
You're not
you
yet
did it later,
mitzvah.
You don't have the mitzvah anymore.
Right, no, but then would
you
say
have
that?
The mitzvah.
No,
it's
you
like
don't Krishma. Get the mitzvah.
You still have to say Krishma, even though you're over
the
Zman.
The reason why you still have to say Krishma is because it's part of Shacharis, but you don't get the mitzvah.
Marav, let's say.
It's part of Marav. What do you mean? How did you miss the Zman?
Either,
it's morning
both
already?
You know,
I'm saying it's part of the davening. There's Birchas Krishma.
Right.
If you didn't miss Zman Tefillah yet, so you
but
still
like,
have
so
to
you
say,
miss Zman Tefillah.
You miss Zman Tefillah also. Not just Zman
Krishma.
No, you don't say it anymore.
No.
You could say it if you want. It's Pesukim in the Torah. There's no harm in it. But no, you don't. But you certainly don't get the mitzvah. Even once you miss the Zman of Krishma. No, even though you're right, the Gemara uses such a lashon. That's true. But what it means is that there's still a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. But the mitzvah of Krishma you don't get once you miss the Zman. That's the way, you know, all mitzvahs were almost to have a Zman. The way it works is that once you miss the Zman, you can't be Yotzei the mitzvah anymore. So over here.
Do what they do.
That question I can't answer.
They done it so late. Whenever they want.
So the raya that in the Sefer Kovetz Halachas he brings is as follows. He says, I mentioned before that the Gemara used the term Mishatishka Hachama to describe the beginning of the Zman. When does the Zman start? Mishatishka Hachama. What does Mishatishka Hachama mean? So there's a wide range of opinions. I mentioned before that some say that it means actual sunset. Others say that it means Seisek HaKavim. There's a third opinion that it means what we call in Halacha Shkia Shnia, or Rabbeinu Tam Shkia. So there's really three shittas in Rishenim about what the term Mishatishka Hachama means. Of course, each of these will then have, you know, then there's a machlokes about how exactly you calculate some of these things. So there's a wide range of possibilities about what the actual correct Zman is. But there's three definitions of the word, Mishtish Kachama. Let's, to keep it simple, let's leave that Rabbeinu Tam as a discussion for another time. Well, let's talk about two meanings of the word. There's, it could mean Shkiyas Achama, when the sun goes down. It could mean Tzitzik Chavim, which is when it's dark, fully dark. Which, let's say for argument's sake, is about 15 minutes later. Again, obviously, as we all know from every Matzah Shabbos, there's different opinions about how to calculate Tzitzik Chavim. But let's say for argument's sake, 15 minutes later. So that means that, let's say on a day like today, that I think Shkiyas Achama is probably somewhere around 4:30. And Tzitzik Chavim, let's say somewhere around 5:20. So Mishatishka Achama, which is the beginning of the Zman for Adlakas Nevis, is one of those two times. Now, when's Tichla Ragam and Ashok? So what he points out is that all of the Rishonim bring down the Tichla Ragam and Ashok is a half an hour after the beginning of the Zman. But they had such different opinions about when's the beginning of the Zman. Some Rishonim learn that Tishka Chama means Shkiyas Chama, that's around 4:30. And he said that you have a half an hour, meaning till 5 o'clock. According to other Rishonim, Mishatishka Chama means Tzitzik Chavim. So let's say that's around 5, I'll call it 5:15. And according to them also, Tichla Ragam and Ashok is a half an hour later, so that's, let's say, 5:45. So how does it happen that in the Rambam's world, right, where the he says that the Zman is at sunset, 4:30, so then the traffic dies out at 5 o'clock. And in the Shulchan Aruch's world, he says that the Zman is at Tzitzik Chavim, then the traffic dies out at 5:45. Funny coincidence, just who, according, they have a machlokes about how to define Mishatishka Achama, and each one happened to have the traffic in his time and place died out half an hour after the beginning of his man. That doesn't seem so plausible, right? You'd think that if Mishtishka Chama depends on the local time and place, so if it was, let's say, if the Rishonim that said that it's a half an hour, if the Rishonim that said Tishka Chama means Tzitzik Chavim, and they said it's a half an hour later, then the Rambam, who says that the Zman starts at Shkiyas Chama, he should have had more than half an hour. Because the traffic was probably the same in the two places. So how come it's ending at 5 o'clock for him and it's ending at 5:45 for him if they're both going with Tichla Ragam and Ashok? So he says it must be that it makes no difference what it is in your location. It doesn't go by your location, by your time and place. It just goes by what Chazal said. It's all by the Tichla Ragam and Ashok in the times of Chazal. Now we have a machlokes about what Chazal meant. Did they mean Shkiyas Achama and a half an hour after that? Or did they mean Tzitzik Chavim and a half an hour after that? But whatever your shir for Tishka Achama is, whatever your definition of Tishka Achama is, the Sefer Zman will be a half an hour after that because it's all just totally on a half an hour and it's not totally on the actual traffic. True, Chazal made up this man by stepping outside and looking at the traffic, but clearly the Rishonim were not deciding it based on stepping outside and looking at the traffic, because then the different Rishonim would have had different amounts based on their different Tishka Achamas. Since the Rishonim weren't stepping outside and looking at the traffic, we also shouldn't step outside and look at the traffic. Yeah, it could be it's different now, but Chazal never meant for it to be totally in each time and place. That's the argument that's brought in the Sefer Kovetz Halachas to say why we shouldn't change the Zman of Tichla Ragam and Ashok even nowadays. I thought, I don't know, in reading that it seemed to me like a poor argument. And here's it again. I was, you know, I'm not opposed to it. It's not halacha l'maisa, but just learning up just trying to learn the Indian together. Here's why. Of course, the Rishonim weren't stepping out to, you know, to look at what the traffic looked like in their time and place because. But that's because there was no reason to think that it was any different than it was in the times of Chazal. When Chazal gave a shir, so we never use our own assessments. I mean, just to take a mushal, let's say Chazal say give a shir of on Erev Pesach. Now I'm trying to avoid Moshe Yerim Halacha Moshe Mesinai. So Halacha Moshe Mesinai is a whole different. That of course is never going to change. We don't know reasons. It's not based on any reasons. The shir of Kazayas, the shir of any of the Halacha Moshe Mesinai Shiurim, the Kesevas Agasavim and Kippurim. And that's not going to change based on time and place. Akriyas Moshe Shachar is also, but that's a Dindoi Raisa. So that's for sure not going to change. Well, you're right. Over there also, right? It's based on when people wake up. So we don't go and look at when people wake up nowadays. You're right. That is a good sushtel. But again, that's a day raisa. You could say the Drabbanan is a little bit different. But let's take a look at the fact that, you know, the halacha, the Chazal said that on Erev Pesach, you're not allowed to eat min mincha ulamala because then you're not going to have an appetite later. So, and, right, so, the Rishonim don't go and say, well, I'm looking around in my time and place and I see that based on people's digestion and stomachs, you really just have to stop 2 hours before nightfall. Or no, you should stop 5 hours before nightfall. Chazal gave a shir, and the general, I think, thinking is that we can't really have an opinion because we don't know exactly how hungry they meant for you to be. Like, when I say, oh, if I stop 2 hours before nightfall, I'll be hungry ready. Well, how hungry? Maybe they wanted you hungrier than that. We don't really know how hungry they wanted you to be. So go with the number that they gave you, and then you know that you're doing it right. But that's all kolzman that you have no reason to think that something changed. So, you know, when he says, look, the Rambam was in Cairo in the 1100s, and the Machaber was in Tzvas in the 1500s, and they... And they went with different definitions of Tishka Achama, and yet they both just blindly followed Chazal. That Tichel Agam HaNashuk is a half an hour later. So you see, you're supposed to blindly follow Chazal because surely if they would have stepped outside, they wouldn't. You know, why would it be 5 o'clock over there and 5:45 over there? But the answer is that whether you're in Cairo in the 1100s or you're in Tzfas in the 1500s. You're just going to take Chazal's word for it because you have no reason to think that anything changed. Because the world, the way it's always been, is that activity takes place during the daytime, and then the nighttime is when activity stops because the nighttime was dark, and the activity more or less stops. And Chazal said that therefore you have to light at the beginning of the night when there's still some activity in the streets. And if they said that's a half an hour, so who are we to say no, it's 45 minutes, it's an hour, it's 20 minutes? Yeah, maybe if I was making it up on my own, I would have said it's 20 minutes, or I would have said it's 45 minutes, but Chazal said half an hour, so fine, it's a half an hour. I have no reason to think that anything changed. But the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch and all of the Rishonim are a completely different situation than nowadays, because now it really did change. That whole basic premise that the day is light and the night is dark, so the days when people are involved in activity and the night people are at home, it just got overturned in, let's say, the beginning of the 1900s, and now that the streets are well lit and there's cars and, you know, we know that the streets are full much later, the whole mitzvah changed. You can't bring a riot from the fact that the Rishonim never said, let's look out, let's step outside and look at the traffic. Of course they didn't, because they assumed that it's more or less the same way it was in the times of Chazal. But nowadays that it's so clearly, so something concrete happened to make it different than it was in the times of Chazal, there's a strong argument to say that it should take a change. That now the Tichel Agam HaNashuk should be based on what it is for us. Now, what is that exactly? That's still an open question. You know, how do you measure the Tichel Agam HaNashuk? But al-Kapanim, the argument to say that there's a strong makom in Svara to say that it should change nowadays, call it 8 o'clock, call it 9 o'clock, that's debatable. But that it should change nowadays is a strong argument in Svara. And the raya that he brings from the Rishonim that had different zmanim and yet they all went with the same half hour is not a raya because they were taka blindly following Chazal as they should have, but there's a good makom to say that nowadays we shouldn't. Now, there's one more sort of inyan le'inyan, ba'isay inyan. We mentioned before that this is all, again, it's halacha l'maisa, it's negeya halacha l'maisa, but only marginally when we talk about Chutz La'aretz, because the Baal HaTais has said already that our Ikar Hadlaka is really indoors, it's for the B'nai Abayas. So then there's an interesting discussion. The Magen Avraham, you know, we say that now the Zman changed, and you can light much later, you don't have to worry, it's 7 o'clock, it's 8 o'clock, but it's fine, you come home, you know, it's supper time, it's homework time, it's bedtime, it's Leibed at home, so it's still the time to light, because nowadays the Hadlaka is for the B'nai Abayas. Then, but again, the question arises, but how long does that go? Mm-hmm. Right? Just like we were talking about in the street, you know, right after it gets dark, there's still people out there, right? But how long does that go? So the Gemara talks about that. Nowadays, the Hadlaka is inside. So it's already late at night, but it's still labor to get home, so you're fine. But how long does that go? So the Magen Avraham says that it's called Zman Shebnei Abayis Ne'urim. that it's only for as long as people are awake. Once people go to sleep, then you can't light anymore. So if a person, the simple reading of the Magen Avraham is, so if a person comes home and it's very late at night, that's it, you can't light. The Mishabura brings down this Magen Avraham, and then the Mishabura adds a detail. He says, so if you come home very late and everybody already went to sleep, you should wake someone up. You should wake someone up, because otherwise you can't light with a bracha.
Should somebody else light in the house if you know the husband's coming home? Right?
Yes, that is right. That might be a very good idea. That maybe is even more proper. But b'di'eved, if somebody comes home late, he didn't light, and now everybody already went to sleep, so the Mishnah Berurah says that you keep saying he should wake up his b'nei bayis to light.
So single people shouldn't light.
Oh. So that's the kasha. How could that be? So the in the bottom of the Mishnah Berurah, in the Shaar HaTzion, he brings up this discussion, and that is really also tied into what what I said. Maybe we'll talk about it next year. Yes. I'm going to put that on hold. That's a good kasha. That's we're going to leave that as a side discussion.
That's right.
I mean, as a discussion for another time. But I'm just going to. I want to just finish off with this. The Mishnah Berurah says. I mean, halacha lemaisa, no. Halacha lemaisa.
That's why it says ubeso, bnei shubeso, for the house.
Meaning, and you have to have bnei, but that you have to have bnei bayis.
He says you have to have a human being.
Maybe just beso, meaning the house itself.
The house itself.
Okay, I hear. So we're not going to go into that discussion now. I would just say halacha lemaisa. Halacha lemaisa avada, a person that lives by himself, does light.
Right.
But although the Mishnah Berurah is ma'ir that lafid is magen avram, that you need the bnei bayis to be up. So that's a good kasha. So Mitzvah Shem another time.
It's for yourself too.
Okay, that's part of that same discussion. Mitzvah Shem for another time. I want to end up with this. The Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says you come home and everybody's sleeping. You should wake them up. So I learned this Mishnah Berurah as an 11th grader. Mary the Rabbi Rekiba Wiener, my 11th grade Rabbi, and he taught us this Mishnah Berurah. And then he taught us together this Mishnah Berurah. You know, it seems a little bit like, you know, okay, that's very nice. You're being real, you know, you're being very frum. You know, you want to do the mitzvah in the best possible way, but you're being mekel a little bit in the binatam l'chavei, right? Right? This is the Mishnah Berurah's recommendation. This is that's the Chavetz Chaim. That's who wrote the Mishnah Berurah. He was good at binatam l'chavei. This is what he writes. So Rabbi Kiva Wiener, I remember when he taught us this piece of Mishnah Berurah, he taught it together with a story. The story, I'm not sure I'm remembering correctly who it's about. I think it was with Shimon Schwab. Maybe it was someone else, but it was somebody who was a very young man. He was a bach, he was a teenager, I think. And he was traveling to Radin, and he was going to be staying for Shabbos by the Chofetz Chaim. He had some kind of maybe family connection. He was traveling home from yeshiva, and there was going to be a stop. You know, the train was going to stop in Radin. He was going to spend Shabbos in Radin, and he made arrangements. He was going to stay at the house of the Chofetz Chaim. Now, this was again from Shimon Schwab, so you know he it couldn't have been before, let's say 1930. Meaning, it was b'seif yomov of the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim was already a man in his 90s, and he had a teenager who was coming to stay with him for Shabbos. He got to the house Friday afternoon. He had been traveling on the train for a long time. The Rebbetzin greeted him and showed him his bed, which was, you know, out of the main room. It was basically a one room. There was a couch or something to lie down on, and that would be his bed. And she said, you know, it's Friday afternoon. Why don't you take a nap a little bit, you know, rest before Shabbos? So he lay down. He had been traveling for a long time. It was a difficult journey. He fell into a deep sleep. When he woke up, he saw the Chofetz Chaim was standing at the Shabbos table. And he was ready to start the Suda. He slept right through davening. He was mortified, obviously. Here he's in the Chofetz Chaim's house. And he just slept through davening. So the Chofetz Chaim said, you know, okay, we'll wait a few minutes. Daven, you know, so he felt bad. The Chofetz Chaim was going to wait for him for a few minutes. But he quickly davened Kabbal Shabbos and Mariv. And then he came and he joined the Chofetz Chaim at the Suda, and they started the Suda, Shalom Aleichem, Eish Haschayil, and Kiddush, and they had a nice long Suda, and they sang Zmiris and Divrei Torah. I'm embellishing, I'm not sure if they did, but the story was that it was a regular, normal Suda. When the Suda was over, the Chofetz Chaim and his wife, they went into their room, and he goes back to his couch. He wasn't tired, he was walking around a little bit, and he noticed a clock that he hadn't seen earlier, but somewhere in the room there was a clock. And he saw that it was 3-something. It was mamash the middle of the night. And he came in the middle of the afternoon. He realized that he was sleeping. Wow. And the Chofetz Chaim came home from shul, and he was still sleeping. He slept for about 6 or 7 hours. After the Chofetz Chaim came back from shul and was sitting at his Shabbos table ready to start, and he's a man in his 90s, there's a teenager who came to spend Shabbos with him, like as a tourist, you know, for the opportunity to spend Shabbos by the Chofetz Chaim. He sat and waited for, obviously he was learning, for hours and hours and hours, because not to wake somebody up, somebody who's sleeping. He was machshiv, the chashivas of not waking up somebody who's sleeping. That was his chashiv for not waking up somebody who's sleeping. So Wiener told us, so when you see such a line in the Mishnah Berurah, you have to realize it doesn't reflect that he had less chashivas than you for somebody else asleep. It only reflects one thing, that he had more chashivas than you for doing the mitzvah the right way.
Wow. Yeah.